Number of years ago, back my senior year of high school, we had to clean out my grandmother's house. She was no longer able to live there. And so my mother, my aunts, and a few cousins gathered and divided things amongst ourselves. And while not everyone was present in the family, all were contacted to see what they wanted. That was their mother's or their grandmother's, and a sense of what our memories were of her and her home. My one cousin took the copper mugs that hung on the wall on the far side of the kitchen. My aunt took teapots and cups and saucers. My brother took the really old bags of toys that she kept in the closet, probably from when our cousins, 20 years our elder, were kids, and that all the grandkids played with. I took a few things, some paintings, this big spoon and fork that hung on the other side of the kitchen wall, but probably the one with the deepest embedded memory was these two teacups from the 60s that were probably from a free grocery store promotion. When we would visit and everyone would have tea, the fancy cups and teapot would be pulled out as we gathered around the table. But when only my mom and my grandmother would have tea, these two cups would be pulled out. An orange one and a green one, large sunflowers on the side in their respected colors. Apparently there was a whole set, though nobody seems to remember what the other colors were. My memory only knows of these two. I took them and kept them in my room through college and seminary. When I finally moved up here, they came into circulation again, at least more regularly. My mom and I sharing tea in them from time to time. Only a few months ago, while using one on my own, I noticed there was now a crack down the one side. It wasn't holding tea properly anymore, and so it could no longer be used. I remember feeling this twinge of pain, now down to one usable cup. But I didn't have the heart to throw away this other memory, and so I placed it in the china hutch in the dining room where it looks silly on display with the fancier cups and teapots. It's funny how things, these possessions, this stuff has this effect on us, to the point we can't throw away silly old cups that aren't worth a dime. The memories they possess that someone from the outside would think we're crazy for clinging on to, are the ways we get easily upset when something breaks beyond repair. We sometimes have a hard time of letting go of things. Perhaps not just things tied to strong memories, but things that also make us feel safe and secure. Things that make us happy or even at times make us a little bit selfish. We hoard more money than we know what to do with, hoping it will make us feel secure no matter what happens. We fill our houses with the next best thing because that commercial told us it would fulfill our wildest dreams. We drive the fanciest car out there to show off to everyone else just how important we must be. These messages our society has taught us from such a young age, this message our country seems to be founded on, the American dream. That if you work hard enough, you can have it all. You can be completely happy and fulfilled. The lies repeated over and over again a number of different ways. Perhaps a similar message the rich man heard as well. Growing up in the heavily religious society in or near the region of Judea, as he claims to have followed all the commandments since his youth, knowing them by heart, all the teachings, perhaps believing he has been blessed by God with all his riches and possessions, as that was the cultural norm of the day. As one commentator notes, the ancient patronage system in which the wealthy were celebrated as communal benefactors, made it appear that they were endowed with wealth and power by God. The divine king and patron, the wealthy provided funds to support synagogues, temple sacrifices, thus exhibiting their special relationship to the vine. The Old Testament prophets constantly challenged this assumption that God cared about such lavish worship in the absence of justice and concern for the poor, but nevertheless, people naturally assumed that the wealthy elite were closer to God and more likely to be saved than were the common people. So what a shock it must have been to the rich man to hear Jesus, this good teacher, tell him that he must go and sell everything he has, give his money to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. The rich man must have been beyond confused at this point. He came to Jesus searching for an answer, how to get closer to God, inherit the kingdom, perhaps the only thing he hadn't yet inherited. He wanted to check to make sure he had it this right as well, that he was on the short list. And yet Jesus tells him, in a sense, he's had it wrong all along. And the shock isn't just with the rich man, but the disciples as well, showing just how shocking Jesus' comment truly is. The disciples were perplexed, astonished, amazed. The Greek word thembeo, also meaning terrified or frightened. Rather strong reaction that Jesus viewed wealth, many possessions, as a hindrance to entering the kingdom of God. Such a hindrance that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. So shocking, the disciples, perhaps out of fear, ask, then who can enter the kingdom of heaven? If even these who we thought were a guarantee can't, who can? To which Jesus responds, for mortals, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. This gift of love, this gift of eternal life, entering the kingdom, the salvation, only possible through God, through this relationship Christ invites the rich man into. Come and follow me. This rich man came seeking what he could do to inherit eternal life. Rather a silly question, as who really has control over inheritance? It's not really about what he can do. For as one scholar points out, this gift of inheritance that God offers arises out of a life in relationship with God. It's what God offers us. Jesus invites him as an act of love to unload his burden, to give away his wealth, to free himself from that which has come to bind him, even though he has no idea he is bound. This is love. This is the truth, and it's hard to hear. Jesus tells us, the primary concern shouldn't be our own salvation through faith and works, but rather we are only truly saved when we stop worrying about our salvation, our safety, our security, and turn our attention to God and to neighbor. This call to come and follow. And Jesus does this with deep love. We're told that Jesus looked at the man and loved him before he even spoke these hard words of truth to him. And this is the only time in the Gospel of Mark that we are told that Jesus explicitly loves someone. Jesus' desire was that he would sell what he had, give to the poor, share these blessings and gifts from God with those who didn't have. They didn't have the safety and security that he does, to share it with those who don't know where their next meal will come from, how they'll pay the rent or the heating bill, to use his power and authority that he has as a rich man with this privilege and high social status, give voice to those who have none, bring justice and righteousness to victims of oppression, of defrauding, those taken advantage of, not believed, or those with no legal rights. Jesus calls him to live in community, to not just follow the commandments, but to truly live into them, by loving God and loving his neighbor in ways he's never imagined before. With deep love, this is what Jesus calls us to do as well. We are to live in community with God and neighbor, sharing this great gift of love. No longer bound by the societal and cultural norms, the political powers that be. No longer bound to possessions and things and stuff that gives us false senses of security and safety, of power and control. No longer bound to anyone or anything but God. Following this call of Jesus, come and follow. Enter this relationship, this community, share the love, the blessings we have received. Perhaps what many here have already been doing, following, what many return each week after week because of the love in this community, this relationship with God and with neighbor. For many have experienced love in this place and in this congregation, the love of sharing meals together, offering prayers, giving rides, taking care of one another, especially in sickness, but also through mourning, grief, and pain. Sharing love through celebrations and joys, milestone life events. Perhaps not always perfect, we strive to follow after sharing this generous gift of God's love. This blessing not just with each other, but reaching out as well. Focusing not on just on ourselves in this community here, but to the neighbor and the stranger outside. Feeding those who come to the pantry, providing space for those in need of support from life's troubles. And though the groundhog was no help, growing healthy options, providing a space for community gardening. Loving on people who like to ride their bikes at the Tour de Goshen or run in the local 5K. This isn't always an easy task to build these relationships, to live in community, to let go of ourselves, our own selfish desires for security, but our reward will be great. Jesus tells us it's worth it. It's worth it to let go and love. To love God, to love our neighbor, love the strangers and aliens, the widows and orphans, the least of these. To share the gifts we have been given so others can share in the glorious joy as well. Joy of relationship, of community. It's not just worth it for us, but for others. For those who are in need of such great love. The blessings, the food, the water, the voice, or support, the shelter, the protection, the community. Sharing the gifts God provides. Sharing the love, this great gift from God. This gift of eternal life. For perhaps you know the glorious joy of this love, what it feels like when it's shared, as it has been shared with you, either here in this community or outside among others. Warms your heart, makes you feel not so lost or alone, not so insignificant, makes you feel connected, cared for. It is a gift of God, the blessings of eternal life that we are provided, and that we are to share. As one scholar notes, when God provides, even by the use of our hands, then there will always be enough. Eternal life is God's gift to us. Our lone task is to receive God's bounty and pass along the gift. We have been given a great gift, eternal life with God. God's love showered down upon us. We're simply to pass along the gift. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, may this be so. Amen.